Good morning. Turn with me in your Bibles this morning to Psalms 23. Psalms 23. This is one of the Psalms that is, or one scripture, a portion of scripture that is most read, recited, memorized, and has been read off at various occasions. Life, weddings, dedications, funerals. But this morning I want to just share with you how this psalm had blessed my life and really stimulate my relationship with Christ. It's an amazing portion of scripture. And we want to go down in it this morning and pluck it apart. And see how we could be blessed by it. And I trust that at the end, there's going to be a rejoicing in your heart as you look at this scripture and see who Christ is to me. Who the Lord is to me, a good and great shepherd. He's a good and great shepherd. It's awesome, amazing. Let's read it. I'll read it through and then we go back. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Said, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now, in a crowd like this, we have various version of this psalm. But I could tell you, it all means the same. It comes down to the same message. As I look over different versions, how they brought out this psalm, who the Lord is. It's the same message of who Christ is to us. I want to show you that this morning. Well, so the Lord, and I think of David making such an emphatic statement, the Lord is my shepherd. He said it with such confidence, with such trust in his heart. He knew where to look, who to turn to, where the true source was. Which was the right way? He said, the Lord is my shepherd. And you look at that and you say, man, that's relationship. That is relationship. The Lord is my shepherd. What better relationship could you have than that? That's out of this world. The Lord is my shepherd. Even in his finite, impotent, limited state, David was able, and he made that conscious choice of saying, the Lord is my shepherd. And we should be able to say it the other way too. The shepherd is my Lord. The Lord is my shepherd. The shepherd is my Lord. David found comfort in this. This was the psalmist David. David was a king of Israel. He was the second king of Israel. And throughout his life, he wrote many psalms. But this is one I'm pretty sure most of you here would have been encouraged as a young person to memorize this, right? Am I off for saying that? I would want to believe so. Most of you probably could have stand if I would have asked for volunteer. You had the courage, you probably could have stand and quote this scripture by memory. Well, he acknowledged that he wants the Lord to have the lordship, the complete lordship, surrender to the complete lordship of him over his life. This sovereign, almighty, delivering, all-knowing, all-seeing, good, gracious, great Lord, he said, you be my shepherd. You lead me. You guide me. You supply for me. You provide for me. You protect me. You keep me. Are we giving him this rightful place? You sit here this morning. Is this the confession of your life? Now, not just your lip, but is this the confession of your life that the Lord is my shepherd? The shepherd of my life is the Lord. Are we giving this to him? Consciously, purposely, make this choice. And you know, as we go through the Psalms here this morning, we cannot get the other things that we're going to look at if you don't get this part. If this part isn't in place, if this isn't right in your heart, that the Lord is your shepherd, then you cannot truly from your heart or even from your life testify, live out the remaining portion of this scripture. You think upon that. Is the Lord your shepherd? Is he? He said, David said, he is my shepherd. It wasn't like he might be my shepherd or he's going to be my shepherd. This was present tense for his life. And throughout his life, he made that choice constantly. And again and again, the Lord is my shepherd. The shepherd of my soul is the Lord. You could make that declaration today. It's personal. It's personal. Collectively, as a body, yes, but it starts individually with you and him. And he said, the Lord, this almighty sovereign God, the creator of all things, he is my shepherd. My shepherd. It's personal. He knew that the Lord came down and singled him out also and said, I want to be your shepherd. I want to guide you. I want to direct you. I want to protect you, provide for you, keep you. He said, yes, do it. Do it. He made that conscious choice of allowing the Lord to own him. Own him. I am yours, Lord. We sing those songs, right? I'm yours, Lord. Everything I've got. You know, are we living it that way? And this also shows us that the good shepherd, the good and great shepherd, he's interested in each and every one of his sheep. He is a good and great shepherd. And I want to show you that this morning. It really had blessed my heart. I saw it in a deeper way, in a fresh and new way as I looked at the Psalms the last while as it had been blessing my life. Well, you might wonder, why are we likened to sheep? Men are likened to sheep. So what are sheep like? Anybody know what are sheep like? Where's the brother? He does sheep here, right? Do you? Give us some insight of what sheep are like. Brother Edward. Yeah, bring him a mic, please.
I guess I'm not sure what you want to hear.
Yeah. The truth. The good and the bad. You didn't want to let out the secret, huh? What's your experience in caring, looking after sheep?
Well, a lot of things go through my mind. I'm trying to think how you put in a nutshell what sheep are like. When the scriptures speak about sheep, it kind of shows the other side than what I would like to talk about sheep. I was thinking, we had a little visitor at our place this week. I'm not sure how old he is, maybe about 7 or 8 years old, and he said when he used to look at a lot of books and the Bible had a lot of good to say about sheep, but when he actually saw sheep, they weren't what he thought they were. I think what is showing out here is Jesus being the good shepherd. We might say, well, I'm the shepherd. I don't quite have the relationship with my sheep that he has with his. But in light of sheep, they know where to turn to. They know where to turn to when they're hungry. They always know when I call, they come running. And maybe that's an example of how we should also hear when Jesus calls us.
That's right. That's right. Well, a shepherd's job is to protect, provide, and guide the sheep. And Jesus is our good shepherd. Right? So with what you were saying just now, the sheep hears your voice and they listen, right? They hear, heed to your call. You had anything more you wanted to share? Or? No? All right. Well, in the Word of God, we see periodically through Scripture how men are likened to sheep. And then, sisters, you're included in that too, if you didn't know, by the way. And you watch some of their behaviors. I hadn't personally raised them. I've seen them, looked at them, but you know, you would get reports of shepherd tending or caring for sheep is they're stubborn, they're stupid, they're selfish, self-will. Nothing really good much to say about them. They don't have a sense of danger that easily. And there's so much other part we could say about the sheep, but we see that we're in need of a shepherd. We're in need of guidance. We're in need of protection. We're in need of provision. And this good shepherd offers this to us. The Lord, He offers this to us. And hey, if He's not your shepherd today, let Him be. Let Him be. It's the best choice you're going to make in your life. He wants to provide for you, protect you, guide you. And so David said, the Lord is my shepherd. The shepherd of my soul is the Lord. I shall not want. I will not lack. And then you think, well, yes, now that's supply. You know? That supply, that is supply, that is provision. I will not lack, I shall not want. With having the Lord as my shepherd, I could be contented because I know what I receive from Him is truly what I need, what is best for me. And we find that to be difficult sometimes as we go through life. And to really trust Him, that what He does provide for us is entirely what we truly need. In Philippians 4:19, he said, "But my God shall supply your need, all your need, according to His riches in glory." And that is only for those that had made that choice, not just with their lips, but with their lives, saying, "Lord, You are my shepherd. I surrender the lordship of You over my life totally." And then I will not lack. I will truly not lack. I will not want. I won't find myself in a place of drought, because He will provide my needs. You could count on this. He will not, more than likely, He will not give you all that you ask for. But He'll provide for you what you need as you go through life. And can we say it with such confidence this morning of this good and great shepherd? Say, He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Right? That's rest. That is rest. And He knows that we need rest. And as you come, you think about the verse there in Matthew 11, 28 and 30. He said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your soul. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." But here it speaks about rest, right? He said, "Come unto you, me, those of you that are labor and are heavy laden. You're carrying the guilt of sin. Come to me. Find peace. Find true rest. Lay it down." He said, "I will give you rest." So the first rest, He gives it like that. The next rest, it seems like you have to find it. Right? You seek after it. You pursue after it. To find rest, it's then you got to make that conscious choice that I want to rest in the Lord. I want to allow Him to lead me in green pastures. And from time to time, the shepherd needs to lead the sheep to a place of rest, a place of just laying down, having contentment. And the sheep would not lay down if he's not contented. Also, that's another characteristic of a sheep. He will not just lay down in just any place. But can we trust the good Lord to lead us into green pastures? We could find rest. He made that invitation. He gives that invitation. He said, "Come unto me, all ye that are labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me, for I am meek and lowly." Saying, "You shall find rest for your soul." You're finding turbulence in your heart this morning as you reflect back on the past week. Was it a week of resting in the Lord? Did you acknowledge that with your life we're talking about? Did you acknowledge that in your heart that I rest in the Lord? I just lay down. I just simply follow His way. I want to go where He wants me to go. So He leadeth me beside the still waters, verse 2. Hey, that's refreshment. He leadeth me beside the still waters. And another thing about sheep is that they will not drink from a rapid or rushing water. The water got to be still. One shepherd said, the sheep wouldn't want to drink from it unless he could see his reflection in it. And so this good and great shepherd, he provide refreshment for the sheep, rest and refreshment for his sheep. Excuse me. The Lord refreshes us. His very presence refreshes our soul. And we see here the good intentions of what the shepherd has for the sheep, which this good and great shepherd has for you and I. Find rest. Supply refreshment for us as we go through life. So He restoreth my soul. How many times have we longed? Time again, Lord, restore my soul. That's healing. And we want it. We desire it from time to time in our life. Lord, restore my soul. Create within me a clean heart. Renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, Lord. Pour your spirit upon me. Restore my soul. It is also known of sheep that if he falls on his back, he can't get up alone. You have to put, the shepherd has to put him back on his feet if he falls on his back. The Lord is in the restoration business, right? He'd not be like, okay, fall on your back, stay right there. Come, call the rest of the sheep, and the vulture comes down, pick up that one, and takes off with it. No, our Lord is not that way, right? He restores us back. And maybe you just need to bellow. And I need you, help, over here, Lord. Yes, he's in the business full time of restoration. Are you in need of restoration this morning? Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus, the good and great shepherd. Can you imagine all these good intentions that he has for you? Why wouldn't you want to follow such a shepherd? Why wouldn't you want to just surrender the lordship over your life to such a one? That's going to supply for you. He's going to give you rest, refreshment, restore, restoration. Put you back on your feet again. You want to stay there on your back and die? He's there. He wants to restore you. If you feel like you're out, you're off, maybe you're on your back this morning, hey, look up. Call for the good and great shepherd. He's coming your way. He's coming your way. He's passing through the aisles here this morning. He wants to restore you. And if he had, well, you thank him. Praise him. You live in that gratitudeness of what he's done for you. He comes along. He heals us. He breathes healing into our hearts. Restore us. Refill us. Renew us. rejuvenate us. All the good intentions that the Lord has for us, it's amazing. He tells us in John 10, from verse 14 downward, he said, I am the good shepherd. He made that declaration. You'd be like, who said that? Jesus. He said, I am the good shepherd. I will lead you. He said, I am known by mine. He said, they know me. They hear my voice. They hear when I call. And they heed to my voice. Can you recognize his voice as he calls? Had you been having this relationship with him that you could say, yep, he's my Lord. The Lord is my shepherd. The shepherd is my Lord. I hear his voice. When he calls, I listen. When he calls, I move. I walk. I follow. I receive his provision. I accept his guidance into my life, in my life. And we see that next here. He says, he leads me in the paths of righteousness. You ever want to go down the right road, make the right decision, go in the right way, be with the right person, have the right example in your life? Have the good shepherd. Have the good shepherd. You want to make it to the end, right? You want to know that road that you're on leads to where you want to go. Well, heed to the voice of the good shepherd, the good and great shepherd. You listen to his voice and you say, this way, this way. And then he doesn't just lead you, but he leads you in paths of righteousness. Good paths, right paths, holy paths. Jesus shall lead me night and day, said Jesus shall lead me all the way. And we sing songs like that. Are we confessing that with our life? Lord, that's right. I'll follow you. I'll walk with you as you lead me in these paths of righteousness, these paths that's going to benefit my life. It's going to bring honor and glory to your name. And that's what it says next. Leads you in the paths of righteousness. You'll be like, what for? For his name's sake. For his name's sake. For his honor and glory. He leads you. Not because of who you are, but because of who he is. And so he takes us in the right path. You call that purpose. Now that's purpose, right? He leads you in his paths of righteousness. That's guidance. You want guidance. You want guidance in the right way. Or perhaps you say, no, don't need no help. I'll make it alone. I'll get there. And you'll find your way over there without the good shepherd. No, the word of God said, no, never. You can't. There's no possibility. You must come under the lordship of the good and great shepherd, Jesus. So we see that's guidance. He lead us in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Good purpose. Now that's purpose, right? For his name's sake. So he does it for a purpose. He's not doing it just for no reason. And the purpose is for his name. Because of who he is. Not because of who you are. Some great, fluffy, nice-looking sheep. And you say, I like this one. I lead this one in the paths of righteousness. In right way. I lead this one down the right road. It's for his name's sake. Because of who he is. The good and great shepherd. That's just who he is. So, he can't help but lead you in the paths of righteousness. You talk about purpose, that's it. Say, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Now you shake your head and you say, yes, that's testing now. Mm-hmm. That is testing. Walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Well, from time to time, as a shepherd would lead the sheep from here, you know, and they need to get over to that other hill over there, that other pasture, because he wants the sheep to grow, right? So we can't just remain here and chum around on this area of ground, because eventually it's just going to get brown. So we need to move on. Move on to higher places. Move on in life. And so he said, this way. And he leads them. He leads them. They follow. The ones that heed his voice, they follow. And he needs to take them down through a valley. Hey, a time of testing in your life. See, are you going to keep your eyes on the good shepherd? Are you going to keep your focus? You're going to say, yes. I'll heed his voice. I'm not going to stray and wander. Be independent. Be on my own. And go through the valley. And you feel like, man, I'm going to die. Death is so close, right? Through time of testing in your life. And you'll be like, man, this is just so hard. You know, the wolf is going to snatch me. Yeah, you're no match for the wolf. So you want to surrender and keep close. Follow the good and great shepherd. So when you pass through this valley of shadow of death, right? Death is only but the shadow is there, so death is close by, right? Sometimes we feel like it's death itself coming upon us as we go through those time of testing. But no, you're just passing by, right? It's a shadow that is there. And this good and great shepherd, he's with you. It's not like, run ahead and you run over to the other pasture over there and you go, here boys, this way. And then he calls you through the valley and you have to come through there all alone. He said, no. He said, I will be with you even unto the end. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, he said in Hebrews. Now, as we are going through, also I notice here, in verse 4, we're in verse 4 here, yea, though I walk, and I'm like, walk? Why walk? I mean, what, like, I want to run through that valley, right? Like, let's get out of it quick. Gone. We don't want to lamp up, sorry. I said that word. You know that word? Okay. We don't want to, it's a Creole word, Belize word we use. We don't want to waste time. As we're going through that valley, we want to run through. Because we're fearful of death. A good shepherd walks us through times of testing and see, are we going to stay in the path? Are we going to follow him? And you notice how this good and great shepherd does it? He leads. He leads. And he leave it up to you. Do you want to follow? You want to follow? You follow. He gives you instructions. He brings correction from time to time. You'll see that in the same thing here, where his rod and staff does. But he leads. Right? He leads. He goes before you. So you could then trust, the Lord is before me. This is a time of testing, but I will continue to follow the good and great shepherd, walking in his ways. I will fear no evil. How could you? Now that's protection, right? Because you know he's going to protect you. Yea, do I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. I will fear no evil. I'm keeping my eye on the good shepherd. He protects me. Trust I have in him. Confidence in him. No need to, right? There's no need to fear evil. There's no need to. If the psalmist could be writing this thousands of years ago, you know, and now living under the new covenant, you and I, the blessings we have, the presence, the power of the Holy Spirit, can we not say with confidence, I will fear no evil? Not because of who we are, but who is in us. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. It's because I had made that conscious acknowledgement of having him as being the Lord in my life. So I want to follow him. I will fear no evil. So what can we say then in Romans 8:31? What can we say then? If God be for us, who could be against us? Who could be against us if God be for us? Yeah. Say nothing. Nothing, right? For thou art with me. I will fear no evil. And then he gave the clause in there. He said, for thou art with me. You are with me, Lord. I don't need to fear no evil because I do believe that you are with me. I trust that. I have faith and confidence in that. I go through this valley, this time of testing. Rough time. I could say, Lord, I need to fear no evil. I don't even need to fear death because you're with me. You are with me. And that's faithfulness, right? He will not leave you or forsake you, he said. That's faithfulness. He's with you. He's going to be with you unto the end. We have friends in life, family, loved ones. They leave us from time to time, right? They fail us. They do. But this good and great shepherd will never fail you. He will never fail you. He's here with all the good intentions for you and I. And that's the way he's leading us. Out of a pure motive. He wants the best for you. And he takes the glory. We need that to fear no evil. Because he's with us. He's always with us. Verse 4, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Now, where do you find that discipline comforts you? Where do you find that discipline comforts you? We don't tend to believe that going through a time of correction and putting back in place and, you know, the rod. I'm not sure which one does what. One was a straight one and the next one had a hook, right? One go whack, whack, you know, stay in line. And the next one come with the thing and he hooks you back from the ravine or from falling over the precipice, you know, brings you back. It brings comfort. Yes, he's going to keep me in check. Are you allowing him to do so? The Holy Spirit, the work of God. The Spirit of God comes to do a work in your heart and he wants to keep you in check. He wants to keep you in the right way. And he does it out of love. Bear in mind. And he tells us that in Hebrews. Hebrews 12. And pick it up in verse 5, and ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh, Hebrews 12, verse 5, and ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, he said, despise not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord, well, what's that word there? Loveth. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure, you see the word there, if, right? Meaning that it's up to you, it's a choice. I mean, you need to make that choice. If you endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the father chasteneth not? It's rhetorical. But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards, not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us. We gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chasten after you out of their own pleasure. But he for our profit, he does this, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now, no chastisement. For the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Unto them which allow him to do it. Lord, chasten me. Put me in check. And it brings comfort because I know then, I might not stray. If I'm straying, the Spirit of God's going to come beside me and say, back on the track, son. You're going off. About to fall over the precipice. Lord, save me. And be like, no, you need to learn your lesson this time. Just, no. You call out with a sincere heart. He'll be there to bring you back into check. And as we think about the discipline of the Lord, He allowed us tough times to do this too, right? Bring discipline into our life. Or he disciplined us through tough times also. That's how he chastened us. And it's any painful circumstance allowed by God to transform your conduct and your character. That's called chastisement. Discipline and chastisement. Any painful circumstances allowed by God to transform my conduct or my character. And he tells us, do not be weary, don't faint when you're rebuked of him. If difficult times come in your life, don't be like, no, this is it. I just can't take this anymore. This is just too much for me. Bail out and you want to get out of there. Allow the Lord, because he's doing it out of love. Do you believe that? Maybe it's hard for you to grasp that. But by faith, lay hold of that today, that Lord, I believe you're doing this for my good, for my profit, as you said here in your word. You're allowing this chastisement in my life because you mean good for me. You want to see me make it to the end, to that final rest. And so now I rest in him that he is almighty, all-knowing, all-seeing, good, gracious God that wants the best for me. So I surrender to that. I surrender to his discipline. And this is a proof of his love to us. It tells us here in Hebrews that this is a proof to us. The hard part about the Christian life is going through chastisement. It's not the joy part or the peace part. Oh, I just can't take this peace anymore. It's just too much for me. It's just too much. No. It's the chastising, but it's through that. So the Lord chastises, correct us. He wants us to grow, learn, grow up, listen, walk in his ways. Through that we grow. And we learn to have more confidence also in the good and great shepherd. He means the best for me. And I'm sure if we give a time for a testimony here right now, I'm sure various one of you could say, yes. I remember the hand of the Lord back then on my life, and I thought that I didn't know when this was going to end. When we were ever going to get through this valley. But as I look back now, I could see God meant good for me. It's because he wanted to lead me on so I could grow. So thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemy. We have that hope, right? We have that hope. We trust in him. Lord, yes, you have it in control. You see all things. You know best. He's going to reward them for what they've done to me. I don't need to take care of that myself. And as he prepares this table in the presence of my enemy, as he prosper me before those that meant bad for me and ill for me, we need to pray that God would help keep us humble too in those times. Right? Say, thou anointest my head with oil. Anointing. You know? He anoints your head with oil. He does that to the brokenhearted. He does that to the humble. He does that to those that surrender and submit to his lordship as being a good shepherd. Remember I told you at the start, you cannot testify to these things. You cannot lay a hold of these things. These things cannot be reality in your life until you get the first part right. The Lord must be your shepherd. You must surrender to that. The shepherd of my life. It's not my own way and my own thinking and my own idea, but it's the Lord. His Spirit, his Word. And he comes along and he consecrates us, right? We do. Lord, I'm consecrated to you. I'm yours. I surrender to your lordship. Anoints your head with oil. Your cup then gets quarter full, it says. Half? Three quarter? No, you say your cup gets full. No, not even that. Above and beyond. So my cup overflows. It runs over. Do you find this in your life that your cup runs over? Or maybe you're finding in your life this week you were just outright dung dry. Dry. Your cup is like, you'd be like, I can't even get a drop out of it. Well, are you surrendering to the lordship of this good and great shepherd in your life? When you do, the word of God stands behind it. Your cup will overflow. It will overflow. He fills you up. You talk about abundance, that's abundance right there. Good measure, that's it. Running over. As you hold up your cup to him, maybe you probably didn't even come with your cups this morning. to find out what the Lord have for me today. Reach down in your heart. Pull it out. Say, Lord, fill my cup. Let her overflow. Let it overflow with your love. Let it overflow with your spirit. Overflow with your life, your light, your joy, your peace. The psalmist is making these declarations, these confessions here. It just amazed me to see, man, somebody under the old covenant actually speaking like this. And then those under the new don't even seem like they want to experience it. My cup overflows. Fill it up. Fill my cup and let it overflow. Fill it up. It says, surely goodness. Verse 6, we're on the last one here. It says, surely goodness and mercy, surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life. Now you talk about blessings, that's it. You talk about blessings. All these other things in this. Surely. And he said it with confidence. Can you hear in his voice as he said the faith he had in this good and great shepherd? Surely goodness and mercy, God's love will follow me all the days of my life. That's blessing. And we want that blessing from the Lord, right? And I will dwell in the house of the Lord. Talk about a secure place. Security. That's it. Be there in the presence of the Lord. And I will dwell in the presence of the Lord. We're not just dwelling in no house today under the new covenant. Hey, he's dwelling in me and I in him. And I will dwell in the Lord's presence, he said. That's security. We want to dwell with the Lord. We want the Lord to dwell with us and in us. What more safer place than this, than to have the presence of the Lord in my very bosom? What more blessing? What more do I need? You see why he said, I shall not want? Because he find the rest, the refreshment, the guidance. He found the comfort in this whole thing. The blessing, the anointing. He said, I shall not want because I got the first part right. The Lord is my shepherd. The shepherd of my life is the Lord. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now that's eternity, right? That's eternity. So, man, this is for life. This is for life. That I could have this good and great shepherd dwelling within me. And we want to thank the Lord for that. As we think about things we could thank the Lord for, thank him for that this morning. Lord, I thank you that you're not just a shepherd, but you're a good and great shepherd. You're here for good purposes. Your thoughts towards me are for good, he said in Jeremiah, to give you an expected end. He has something in mind for you. You know what's on his agenda? You see it right here this morning. To bring you along, give you supply, rest, restore you. And get frustrated with you and kick you, but restore you. If you humble your heart, you call out to him, he wants to restore you. He guides you, supplies, refresh. This is what the good and great shepherd does. Anoints you, fill your cup up, let it overflow. Not just today. You know, sometimes we feel like, my cup could register almost full on a Sunday. But Monday, I'm like, Somebody even dried the thing out completely. Not even wet inside. You know, you'd be like, yeah. Today, tomorrow, Sunday, Monday. We got to make this conscious choice daily. Lord, you're my good shepherd. With our lives, right? We might not stop and just verbally say to him, but with our lives, we say, I surrender to the Lordship of the good and great shepherd. And I want to thank him for what he had been doing and is going to do. David says, surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Such confidence. Such confidence in the Lord. May the Lord bless.